Hello, I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say that radio is a very effective means of world communication. Prayer, however, is able to communicate beyond this world. Prayer is direct communication with God Himself. This is your Bible study program, Search for Truth, with your Bible teacher, Brian Johnston. Now, I'm delighted you've joined me, so thanks for tuning in. In this present series of study programs, Brian's looking at 9 Old Testament kings of Israel to discover encouragement and help for us in our lives as Christians. So far, we've looked at King Saul, King Jotham, and King David. Today, we'll get help by looking at King Asa, and from that, we'll get help with our prayer times. So here is Brian.
Thanks, John. What is prayer and how does it work? That's a modern enough question, but in keeping with our text from Romans 15 and verse 4, we can find help and encouragement from an Old Testament king called Asa. The second book of Chronicles in chapter 14 says, "Now Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Marishah. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God, let not man prevail against you.' So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." It used to be said, you know, that the United States, once the world's undisputed superpower, had a total of 1,000,000 men and women serving in its army. This superpower army of the Ethiopians facing Asa had a full 1,000,000 combat soldiers in its ranks. There are 5 great points that Asa's prayer emphasizes. First, he says, "There is no one besides you." In other words, Asa begins to pray by recognizing the greatness of the one he's speaking to. This is adoration of the awesomeness of the God to whom we are praying. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 encourages us not to look at the things which are seen. The Bible tells us that's how Moses endured. It was by seeing him who is unseen. We too walk by faith and not by sight. Asa didn't fix his eyes on Zerah or his 1,000,000 fighting men, but he looked to his God in all his uniqueness, really believing that he's almighty, far bigger than the huge problem confronting him. Then he says, "We have no strength." Asa next confesses their own weakness before a mighty army and calls on God in the full realization there's no one else to help. Prayer is an expression of our dependency. Humbled by our weakness, we come before the Sovereign Lord. Next, he says, "We trust in you." That was a prayer of no confidence in themselves, but rather full confidence in God. As with all true prayer, it was, as we've said, an expression of utter dependence on God, and God gave them a great victory against overwhelming numerical odds. Then he says, "In your name we have come against this multitude." Like David the shepherd boy going out against Goliath, Asa didn't cower away backward. He didn't select reverse gear and retreat. It's this that shows the reality of his faith. In weakness, he went on the offensive, trusting only in God. Finally, he says, "Let not man prevail against you." This is where he's again like Moses. You may remember how Moses prayed that God would continue to help the people he'd brought out of Egypt. They totally didn't deserve it, but Moses is concerned for God's reputation, or at least God's perceived reputation. He didn't want it to even look as if God could bring his people out from slavery in Egypt and yet fail to bring them into the promised land. Surely we learn from this the kind of prayer that God honours. The psalmist says in Psalm 79 verse 9, "Help us, God of our salvation, for the glory of your name." The bottom line of true prayer is God's glory. Asa routed the overwhelming might of the enemy. Nothing is impossible with God through believing prayer that's made in His will. Another biblical example that really emphasizes the vital role of prayer in any undertaking for God is the case of Nehemiah at the time of the return of God's exiled people who'd returned to rebuild the temple, the city, and finally the wall surrounding it. Here are the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came. And they said to me, "The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." Now when I heard these words, Nehemiah says, "I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." And it came about in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not ill? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid, and I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad, when the city, the site of my father's tombs, is desolate, and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour before you, I request that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Nehemiah was indeed commissioned for this task, and once there, he mobilised a workforce. So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month Elul in 52 days, Nehemiah 6 verses 15 to 16. If we were to check out the Hebrew calendar, we would see that the time during which Nehemiah was before God in prayer for the anticipated work was somewhere between 3 to 4 months, whereas the work itself, once begun, was completed in 52 days. In other words, Nehemiah spent almost 4 months in prayer for the work of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, a work that itself took less than 2 months. Doesn't that show us that the most important thing in any work for God is prayer? More prayer, less activity should perhaps be our motto. We've majored on the battle scene with Asa against the Ethiopians and how by prayer he prevailed. It was the very same, you know, in Joshua's day. We read then Amalek came and fought against Israel in Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side and one on the other. So his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly wipe out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." Exodus 17, 8 to 16. These examples are given to us in the Bible as teaching examples. While Joshua led the army against the Amalekites in the valley, Moses was up on the overlooking hilltop, lifting up the staff that was a sign of God's power in working for his people. But lifting up that reminder of their dependence on God's powerful help was in effect prayer, as the posture also suggests. It was the activity on the hill that determined the outcome in the valley below. While Aaron and Hur steadied Moses' hands, the Israelite army had the upper hand. But when Moses' hands got tired and came down, the tide in the valley turned in favour of the enemy. With the assistance of Aaron and Hur, Moses' hands remained upheld, and so victory was gained. We might think Joshua did the hard work, but Moses was wearied in prayer. Prayer is hard work. Too often, perhaps, we give up. Our hands are not steady until the setting of the sun. It's certainly good when we have praying partners. And who might we be able to support in prayer today? Every battle we fight, while fighting the good fight of the faith, is the Lord's battle. Praying didn't eliminate the need for fighting, but for sure, the fighting depended on the praying. Moses recognized the source of their victory that day when he built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." The word banner means something raised or lifted up, as the staff of God had earlier been. Now the name of God was exalted in victory salute. As an army identifies with its flag, and here it's a flag of victory, so we through prayer identify any victory achieved as rightfully belonging to God.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's study. If you have any comments or questions, please do write in and Brian will be pleased to help. I give you the usual reminder as well that there's a transcript book of all the talks in this series and you can obtain a copy by downloading it at churchesofgod.info/media. Otherwise, you can write to us and ask for a hard copy book be posted to you. Just mention the title, Present Help from Past Writings. And don't forget to include your own postal address so we know where to send it. You can use email or the post, and here's our postal address. Search for Truth, Hayes Press, The Barn, Flaxlands, Royal Wooden Bassett, Swindon, SN48DY, UK. Our email address is sft@churchesofgod.info. Sadly, our time's almost gone, so before we sign out with today's hymn once more, I'd like to say how much I've enjoyed your company today, so many thanks for giving us your time. Now, please join me again same time next week when Brian will be considering wider horizons with King Ahaz. But for now, it's goodbye and very best wishes from Bible teacher Brian, producer David, our singers, and me, John. So see you again soon. And in the meantime, we wish you God's richest blessings.